Hello and welcome to Kingdom Life Radio. This is Kenny Hebert, and I have Joe Green with me again this week. Here he's the pastor of Second Baptist Church, and we've been doing a series ongoing now, like 12 or 14 weeks, man. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, His work, His power at work in us, and we're continuing on. It's based on a sermon series that Joe did here at Second Baptist Church, and if you want to listen to the sermon series, that's at sbcsouthhadley.com. And Joe, you want to give us a review from last week?
Yeah. So last week we started to talk about miracles, but even that was a continuation of a larger theme that the Spirit empowers us and gifts us to advance God's plan. And so a part of those gifts are prophecy and preaching and teaching, but one of those gifts is also miracles. And so we dove into that last week, talking about miracles, the motivation for them. Do they still happen? Yes. We also talked about a definition of a miracle, which I'm going to read again. Yeah. It's from Craig Keener's book, Miracles Today, which, again, I highly recommend. But he defines a miracle as a divine action that transcends the ordinary course of nature and so generates awe. And we talked a lot about how that ordinary course of nature, it's transcendent. God is above nature. He's the creator. But that there's that generation of awe, which helps advance God's plan.
Yeah.
So that the miracles and the message in the book of Acts often went hand in hand. The miracles weren't to put on a show. It wasn't to glorify people, but rather it helped advance, those miracles helped advance God's plan. So that's kind of a review of where we were at last week, and we're going to continue talking about miracles because it's a big topic today.
Yes.
So what are we going to talk about today concerning miracles?
We were talking about if we're wanting to see miracles, if we're wanting to see God work in us and through us as a people of God, what are some of the things that are going to aid us in that process of seeing that happen?
Yeah, I think we mentioned this last week, but I want to make sure we re-emphasize it today, is seek the person, not the power.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. We talked about how it's a relationship with God and that we're seeking the Holy Spirit. We're seeking to draw close to God. And through that relationship, He will do His work. He gives His gifts. And so that also means it's not a formula. Right. We're not talking about magic spell. Yeah. Where we, say the right things and all of that or repeat a certain scripture or prayer over and over again, just the right way. And then a miracle. No, it's a relationship.
Yeah.
And as we draw closer in that relationship, we start to, and I think you mentioned this, we start to see where God is moving, and then we join Him in that movement. And when God shows up someplace, the supernatural happens. And it's up to Him what type of miracle, what type of supernatural. But we're close to Him, riding on His coattail, so to speak, and He's doing something, and we get to participate.
Yeah.
So I think that first important point is seek the person, not the power. When we are seeking miracles, because again, I don't want to give people impressions like, yeah, I want miracles to happen. So let's try to make them happen. Let's seek the miracle. Well, no, actually, then we've already undercut the process.
Yeah.
We need to seek Him more.
Yeah. As you're talking about, I was thinking of in John chapter 5, where Jesus has healed the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Yes.
And afterwards, he's being questioned about what he's done. And he basically, I'm paraphrasing in my own language here, but he basically says, my Father's always at work. I can't do anything on my own. I only can do what I see Him doing.
Yeah.
And so even in that, he said, we can't do anything on our own.
Yeah.
We only can do what we see Him doing.
Right.
And then he goes on, he says, and my Father loves me. And He's going to show me more things because He wants me to join in His work.
Yeah.
And so if that's Jesus, I was sent this way. He goes, and He tells his disciples afterwards in John chapter 20, he goes, even as I'm sent, so I'm sending you.
Yes.
So with that, it's like we have to realize the Father loves us.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us. It's just like I think of my own kids. Yeah. When I do things, I'd want to pull them in, especially if I'm doing woodworking. I should show them, be a part of it. And doing that, there's something that in that Father part of us, we know. Well, the Father is drawing us in. He wants us to participate and be a part of the activity. And I don't know why He does it, because who we are, but He still does. And He says He loves us. He's going to show us more things. but we had to stay tuned into him, yes. not the miracles.
Yes. No, and that's a perfect scripture you brought up, because if Jesus, the Son of God, is watching God, like making sure to be in tune with God, well, I think we need yes. to do that too.
yeah.
But there's that caution, but then there's the promise, as you just
yes.
said.
Yeah.
Oh, but if you are close and if you see him working, then yeah, join in, and he yeah. delights in having his children join his work.
Yeah. And I think of when you were saying about, like, there's no magic formula. Mm. I've prayed for people and someone has come up and say, like, well, how did you pray?
Mm, right.
I don't know. I just prayed.
Yeah.
And something that people are looking for. And I know, and I did it as a young Christian too. I'm like, give me step 1, 2, and 3, and I'll do them. Yeah. So I get the results that I want to see happen.
Yeah.
And we're so prone to that instead of getting to know him. And I don't know if it was in this sermon or one of the other ones on Holy Spirit, you talked about, like, it's not about going to God and giving God our list of wants,
right.
but us going to God and asking him what his list of what he wants to do.
Yes, yes.
And we join him. And I'm like, that's perfect how you said it that one time.
Yeah.
And it's like we got it. It's not that we don't go with our list. Like, we have needs. We have concerns we have in our heart we actually right. express to our Father. But he wants us to come to him also and just, like, give us his concerns, what he wants to see happen,
yes.
that we join him, not just in praying, but then get involved in the things he wants to do.
Yes.
So it's all about relationship, you
yes.
know, and sometimes prayers can become just about asking for things and not just listening
right.
and just being, trying to get in tune with what his heart is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why when, you know, if someone says to us, oh, yeah, I'd like to see a miracle. I'd like to have that happen. I think that's why when we first say, all right, we'll seek God.
You know,
get close to him.
Yes.
You got to make sure you ask in faith, or you got to do the.
Yeah.
No. Like, just get close with God.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And some of my background, it being in the Pentecostal movement for years, and I'm not beating up all Pentecostals. I'm just, there's a part of this word of faith movement of if you have enough faith, yeah. it'll happen. And you're always trying to gear people up to almost raise up this emotional thing in them. And you're almost like you're trying to get God, prove to God you have faith enough for him to actually do it. And then he's going to do it because we've got enough faith.
Right.
And you're missing the whole point. That's not what Jesus taught.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. But
yeah.
that does get us to, like, the other really important part of, all right, of miracles happening, and that is prayer. So,
yeah.
So it's, yes, it's a relationship, but how do we grow in our relationship? Well, prayer is crucial, because we understand it's not our power that's producing
right.
a miracle or whatever. It's the Spirit's power. And what does prayer do? It brings us closer to God, in line with his will.
Yes.
So these things of seek the person, not the power, it goes right along with prayer. And when we look at the scriptures, that's what we see happening all the time.
Yes. Well, with that, Joe, let's read from James chapter 5. I think it's verse 14 through 18. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years, 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit.
Yeah, this scripture, I mean, it's pretty clear
yeah.
that, is someone sick, or, is a miracle needed? Well, what do you do? Like, call the church together, call the elders together to pray, to pray in the name of the Lord. And then it says, because, when people who are righteous, meaning in right relationship with God, in connection with God's Spirit, yeah, God shows up and
yes,
amazing
yeah.
things happen. And what I also think is interesting about this scripture is It also goes into like, if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. This isn't simply a, again, well, I'm sick, so will you pray for me? There's a really relationship, not just between people and God, but between people.
Yeah.
So that it there's a real understanding of it's bigger. It's more than just getting you physically better. It's we're really pressing into God, and when God shows up, not only does the miraculous happen, but often when God shows up, we're like, "Ooh, I'm a sinful man. I'm a man of sinful lips."
Yeah.
You know, and or like Peter, when we saw after that miracle, when Jesus had a miraculous catch of fish, he goes and he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and he's like, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man."
Yeah,
because he saw, you know. And so I think what's neat about this scripture is like there's almost an understanding of like, "Oh yeah, you'll be praying and there'll be healing." But there'll also be confession of sin, forgiveness, and all sorts of things, because prayer is not just sort of a magic incantation to get things to happen that we want them to happen. It's a connection with God, and when God shows up, all sorts of great things happen, including miraculous, supernatural, but also forgiveness, wonderful stuff.
I think of that is God deals with us holistically.
Yes.
It's like, okay, fix my ear, but don't talk about the thing in my heart. No, God, don't touch that. And so, but when God comes to us and we come for prayer, that's why, like, when we talk about prayer ministry, we were talking about, like, when we're praying for someone comes for prayer, can you pray for my knee? And we're praying for them, and all of a sudden we just have this sense of something else is going on. And at the same time, God may be moving in their heart, and we may ask, like, you know, is there anything else, you know, going on that you want to, you know, respond to God about?
Yes.
And it's like it opens the door. So God maybe brings someone for prayer, and we're praying for them, and he's going to touch their knee. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I'm concerned about something else in your heart also.
Yes.
And it could be sin. It could be maybe sin against them, mm-hmm. that they need to forgive someone else. Maybe it's trauma. It's a variety of things.
Right.
And maybe they're... they need healing in their physical ear, but they've been closing their spiritual ears to God, and God wants to heal that also.
Yes.
So there's so much more to healing and miracles and praying for people and responding to what God's doing. That's why we're like staying tuned, even as us being the ones that pray for people.
Yeah.
Is like, what are you doing, God?
Yes.
And is there something more that's at work right now that we need to be sensitive to and waiting for him to actually speak to the person or speak to us about that? So it's really this miracle, and just asking for miracles is about there's a person there.
Yes.
That God's really concerned about them, their history, who they are, and what's going on in their life that we don't even see and know about. But he does, and he wants to minister to the whole person.
Yes.
And it's really something about us like praying for miracles is not just being attuned to God so I can pray for that one person, like, oh, let's get to the next person.
Right.
No, it's like, you know, Jesus, when he saw people, it says he saw them, and he saw them, he knew them, and he had compassion, and he went to them.
Yes.
It's like, that's something that I think part of it, too, is when we're looking for miracles and wanting to see miracles happen, God wants a people that actually care about people.
Yes.
And that have a heart for the individual, for where they're at, the whole person. And so I think that's a part of it too, is it being in tune to God for that whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
And that takes practice. We're like, let's get through this.
Right.
Let's 1, 2, 3. Let's get the next person.
Yeah.
But we have to be really kind of live. I think it's part of it, is it's really giving space in our heart to stop and pause and God, what are you doing?
Yes.
What's happening here?
Yes.
And that we can. It's sort of like, you know, my primary care doctor. He comes in and he'll ask a question. I may answer, and he'll just wait.
Mm-hmm.
and he'll start asking a lot of other questions. Yeah. And he's trying to get the bigger picture of who I am, what's going on, and he's connecting all the dots. And like we're not doctors, but we're trying to connect dots that may show up as we're waiting on God and talking to the person that we're praying for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it's like a privilege we have, a responsibility to care for the person as a whole.
Right. And I think that's such a good word. And I think that's why this scripture in James, too, also is in the context of the local church.
Yes.
And not that you can't. It's yes. A lot of times they would go and in the scriptures and heal random people, you know, as the extent of the kingdom. But there is also a place for prayer in the local church because there's a trust, there's a sense, there's a you know people, you know, you really can see deeply so that you can do what you're talking about. I mean, God can also bring that to you for people you don't know. But even, you know, there's just a closeness of the family of God where oftentimes prayer is, as you said, more holistic in that. Yes, there's a physical dimension, but there's a whole... the whole person.
Yeah,
I think that's a good word.
I we kind of got off on a track. I'm thinking this is like the trust issue, and in our culture right now, trust is really not a big. You know, it's really minimal right now. And it comes into the church. We bring it into the church, but we're supposed to be a place that. Trust is, a real commodity we deal it with each other. And so this is a part about how we build trust. And in mm-hmm. that, when that happens, there's a whole other miracle of the oneness in Christ we have becomes more than just talk.
Yes.
When people know that I can go to Joe, I can go to him and I can talk to him and pray, and it's going to stay between us, and we're going to pray and he's going to help me find wholeness in God together. Mm. And there's something bigger than this about the gifts that are not just about me helping someone else get healed.
Right, right.
It's this whole thing about the greater good of the community.
Yes.
And then the community becomes this place that we're all united in Christ. And then others that come from outside come mm-hmm. into the church can find a place that it's a hospital. It's a place where trauma can be taken care of. They can mm-hmm. find wholeness and actually find it, be part of a journey of finding, wholeness in who they are and with their purpose for life. It's much bigger than just the praying for the gifts.
Yes.
It's this bigger picture. Like I read it, it's within a sense of community. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we lose that.
Right.
We're focusing just on like one thing, like miracles. I'm glad we're talking about this part.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody's hearing this. Because this is really important. I think this is something that the community of Christ, we miss this part of it.
Yes, we do. Yeah, and I think this brings us into the idea of prayer. Yes, but that prayer has to be coupled with stepping out in one way or another. So we were just talking about stepping out in our faith communities and praying for one another, and that's very important, and it's bigger than just the miracle. But that also includes stepping out to pray at all times, because there is a part of prayer where, yes, it's us and God, but if it's we want God to work in us and then through us, if we want God to work through us, that's where that prayer then propels us to step out.
Yes, and it always involves risk. Even like we're in church gatherings,
mm-hmm.
for some it's going to be it's a big leap to move to actually pray for a healing for somebody,
mm-hmm.
and that's a good step to take at some point. And starts with Jesus didn't just throw them into it, you know, but they saw like all the religious stuff happened in the synagogue. It happened in the temple, and it happened only with the leaders who were perfectly trained and had this image they kept up. And sometimes we come to the church and people think, well, it's only the pastor that can do that. It's only the elders that can do that. And not realizing that Jesus takes the disciples.
Yes.
And he brings them out. They start following him. They start watching him heal people, deliver them and share good news with them, care for them, encourage them, and they're watching. And he starts to actually have them take part in that whole process. And I'm sure it was a big leap for them. And initially, I'm thinking like, if all of a sudden they're watching Jesus heal people and he turns out, okay, you 12, I'm sending you out. You're going to go out, you're going to cast out demons, you're going to heal the sick, you're going to raise the dead, by the way. And just go out to two of you, and I'm not going to be with you, you're going to be fine, just go. Me and you would be going like, looking at each other like, what?
I need some more training.
Come on. Really? Jesus, really? Come on. But they were just like me and you. They were fishermen.
Yeah.
They were tax collectors.
Yeah.
They didn't get involved in that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden they're thrust into it. And at some point they had to step out.
Yes.
But it started with, they watched Jesus. Jesus let them take part in it with him at that point. And at some point, he's okay, you guys do it. I'm watching. Okay, now you can go out.
Yes.
And so it starts with us at some point saying, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know this is a part of who we talk about the priesthood of all believers, meaning we're right. all called to serve in a way that, you know, prayer is a way of ministering to someone, someone serving them and caring about them, listening to them. It's so much more than just saying a prayer in our closet for something to get healed. We do that. We pray for different friends and stuff that are happening, ongoing and illness and thing. But there's a point of being willing to say, God, okay, I know I'm supposed to be ministering to people and actually be, because a hand on someone's shoulder, Jesus purposely touched people.
Yes.
There's something to that. It's not just healing comes out of his fingers. Like, oh, Star Wars. Right. There's something like when you touch somebody. I mean, we served in a nursing home for a few years, and there was, like, some of them never get touched except to be rolled over in a bed.
Yeah.
And it's like there's something to touch. So there's a lot more to us to get out there instead of just saying words with God in ourselves in our closet. It's like we have to risk it and get out there. And sometimes we're going to make mistakes.
Yes. And I think one of an example of, I don't know if it's a mistake or not, but it's in the scriptures, there's a time where, you know, the disciples couldn't cast out a demon from a child.
Yes. Right?
And Jesus, and this is in Mark 9, 28, 29, and Jesus comes and he casts out the demon from the child. And this is what he says. I'll read it.
Yeah.
It says, and when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately. So Jesus casts out the demon, but now they're all by themselves. And they ask him privately, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. And so I go back to that, and that it's a both. It's a stepping out in God's purposes, but it's all undergirded with prayer. So that's that with a power. It's a power, not a. It's the person, not the power.
Right? Yeah.
We connect with God as the person, not the power, and that we connect to Him in prayer, and that. So even the disciples experience that with, okay, wait, all right, and they step out, and it doesn't quite happen as they expected.
Yeah.
But because they have that relationship with Jesus, it turns into something that actually grows their faith instead of destroys them.
Yeah. Yes. And they had a place to go afterwards. Like, when you read it, I read it, but when you read it, it's like, when they went to him when he was private.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't want to ask him in front of me. Like, why couldn't we do it? So everybody could say, yeah, why couldn't they do it? Sorry. I just had this video. Like, but they waited. But they knew they could come to him. And it was training. It was okay to ask. It was okay to make the mistake. And not that we're making it on purpose. Mm-hmm. And even if we don't even know if it's a mistake. It's a learning process. Right, a learning curve. We're all in that learning curve. Even when I think of Luke 11, you know, the disciples, they prayed multiple times a day before they ever knew Jesus. That was a part of their culture, right? They were always in prayer. Mm-hmm. And they come to, they watch Jesus, and Jesus has taught them, you know, they've watched, and they're like, hey, can you teach us how to pray? Wait a minute, you know how to pray.
Right, right.
It was a learning environment. They understood that this was like Jesus was inviting them in, and he's inviting you. You're hearing us. He's inviting me and Joe into this learning environment to be with him, to become a disciple of him, that we can actually do the things he did so others can actually come to meet him and have a personal relationship with him also.
Yes.
And so it's like there's that learning curve that we are so afraid of making mistakes. We have this culture of like we have to have it all together, so we don't want anybody to have to get the appearance that I've made a mistake or I failed.
Right.
But we have to actually get over that hump. That's I think the biggest thing is being okay with failing. And that's a hard thing for us to get over because we want to keep that image of getting it together. Right. But once we go there and we're able to do that, then we actually can grow. That's where we actually can ask Jesus. That way we can ask each other.
Yep.
That way we can work through that process and actually grow in what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, be in tune with God and His Spirit, that we can then be a part of what He's doing.
Yeah.
And so it's so important to have that environment, that culture of a workshop, not just having like that showcase like we've talked about before.
Yes. And the way that we can talk to Jesus as they did is prayer, right?
Yeah,
so it,
yes.
it keeps going back to that. So yeah, when Jesus says this kind can only be cast out through prayer, was like, well, and their relationship with Jesus, well, now how do we build our relationship? You know, it is prayer, and everything has to be bathed in prayer. It's not psyching ourselves up. It's not saying certain words. It's not whatever, getting the atmosphere correct. It's connection with God, and then God works through us because of his grace.
Yeah. And you can just start, so I encourage you, you could start with, like, if you're at a family gathering, it's just people you're familiar with, and all of a sudden someone says, man, I really hurt my back. Oh, can I pray for you? And you and they may think you're going to pray at home and just walk over and pray for them. It doesn't have to be just, you know, this bunch of words.
Right.
It can just simply say, God, can you heal my brother?
Yes.
You know, and that's where we start. You have to start somewhere at some point doing those things and just be take advantage when God opens a door where someone says, I got this going on, or I got this, I'm struggling with the situation with my son. Well, can we pray right now?
Yes.
And you start to do that, and you'll learn. That's where we grow. The disciples had to do it. We have to do it, but when we do, we'll find that God shows up in those moments in ways we've never expected. And our relationship with God after that, it just jumps to a whole nother level in regards to actually trying to be in tune with him.
Yes, yes. And I think, and I don't run out of time, so I wanted to make sure we got to this, and that's also when you pray for people. Like, everything has to be interpreted. In other words, when a miracle happens, we talked about miracles in themselves don't produce saving faith because they need to be interpreted as, oh, this is from God, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's and so we also have to interpret when God answers our prayers through non-miraculous means, like medicine.
Yes, yes.
Right? So I think it's important when you pray for somebody and they're like, okay, well, you know, there was no flash of lightning and I wasn't like spontaneously healed. But then that person goes and sees the doctor, they get exactly the right medicine and they're healed.
Yes.
Like we need to be able to say, okay, that's an answer to prayer. Like the same God who is sovereign and who can work the miraculous and bring the dead to life, you know, like that, and take a paralyzed person and spontaneously heal their legs. Well, that same God is also can providentially use medicine and all of those things to bring people back to full health, so that the same, you know, both the miracle and the medicine can be interpreted as, no, that's God's answer to prayer.
Yes.
God's moving.
Yeah.
He's working. And I think I wanted to make sure we closed our miracle with that kind of talk, because, again, so many people, they don't read things that way, and they really lose an opportunity of seeing God's handiwork in his providential dealings.
Yeah. And there's also, you know, some will say it's either or.
Right.
It's just like, you know, it's like it's all kingdom or there's no kingdom. Or it's all medicine or it's all miracles. And it's not. There's a tension we walk in between.
Yes.
We're praying, we're asking God to move, and at the same time we're seeking medical help when necessary, and medicine that helps us stay whole.
Yes.
It's a mix of both. It's not either or,
right,
but both. And there's a place for each individual person to walk through that and work out what that means for them.
Yes.
But it's not alleviating medicine. I'm glad you bring it up, because we don't want to come across as like saying like you don't use medicine anymore.
Right.
We want people to realize it's both. It's not an either or. It's, you know, we seek God, but we also to take advantage of God's given talent, to giving men and women the ability through medicine and medical help provide healing also.
Right.
And so.
Right. And it reminds me of, you know, you told a story last session about the person who got healed and they still didn't want to hear about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Well, the opposite is not the opposite, but the converse can also be true, where people who they don't get healed miraculously, but they get healed through medicine, but yet they're praising God and, you know, they see it as his hand. So it really is about seeing God's hand at work. He intervenes however he sees fit.
Yeah.
Miracles, medicine, both. And we praise him for it.
Yes, amen, amen. There's a, we're coming to a close here, and this was like last week's and this week's. I mean, I just think we can actually continue going on talking about some of this stuff, because there's a lot of nuances to all this, but
yes.
This is just a good conversation, and we pray that you would have some with your own community. You're together talking about these things and actually base them on, in the scriptures too, yes. And what God says there. But we pray that you'd be blessed by what we've been sharing, and we pray between now and then. Also, if you want to listen, if you want to listen to it again, you can listen to letyourkingdomcome.com or sbcsouthhadley.com, either place. But until next week, may God bless you.